And today is about money, wealth, abundance. And as always, I have these funny little introduction moments. I always manifest in my webinars, seminars that I do, that I get a good sign, a good start, something fun that will allow me to kick off the content and kick off what I'm doing, put me in flow, get me excited, get you revved up. It couldn't have been more perfect. So you got the most likely the email today that says, tonight we're going to look at how you really create money. Brian posted it on Facebook. He posted it on LinkedIn. You know, it talks about our beliefs about money, wealth, and abundance. You know, where it starts. You know, what do you want to do? Look at who you are. Get resourceful. Hear the voices from your past telling you what money's all about. And it said, what do you feel about money? Write down all your thoughts and feelings. And we're going to do that a little bit later. Talks about wealth. You know, great little newsletter. I mean, there's content here. It's not just a marketing flyer. There's some great content. And lo and behold, on my Facebook, here comes a post. But I don't want to be wealthy. Money has never been my driving force. Happiness is my objective. To attain happiness, I must consider myself successful and compete against my goals, personal and professional. So I thought that was a great comment. I love to hear stuff. That's not a bad comment. That matches a lot of what people are doing in this business model and in their life and how they're doing the best they can. But here's what I wrote back. I said, however, ponder this. When one's relationship with money is maximized, one would never say, I don't want to be wealthy. Who would ever say that? I'd never say that. I want to be wealthy. I want it to be easy. I want it to be fun. I want wealth. You know, so I'm not going to read my comment to you. We're actually going to talk about some of these comments tonight. The only reason why one would not want to have something is because that something is negative or there's something attached to that. You know, when you're deeply connected to abundance, you just gave him a great comment back. Again, I'm not going to read it to you. We're going to cover a lot of these points tonight. From Brazil, we have another comment came in on mine. Well, when someone says, I don't want to be wealthy, he or she is not saying, I diswant to be wealthy. It simply means it's not an objective they're actively pursuing, but they wouldn't push wealth away as it came. Well, that's imputing something that's not there. But again, that's why this is a perfect introduction tonight for what we're doing. I said, it violates all principles of neuropsychology to impute meanings to things that we say. We are far better off saying what we want, what we are, you know, than going, oh, that's what was meant. You know, NLP is very, very specific. And it's one of the reasons why when you're in client work with me, I'm such a stickler for words that people say like, oh, well, I didn't really mean that. Well, it doesn't matter whether you go to the quantum physics of it, whether you go to Dr. Emoto's work about it. When we say things, the system responds, our brains, our minds, the software responds. And I said, if this were meant, then a far better sentence would be, I don't want wealthy as a target. I'm already wealthy. I have all the wealthy I need. And when I need more, I merely ask and I have my transaction. Something to that effect. It is one of the biggest reasons why folks struggle. I, for one, would never say I don't want something unless I truly don't want it. Besides, it's far more powerful to say what you want. And I just thought, wow, what an interesting little exchange today as we got ready for this webinar. Again, thanks for everybody that's there. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight, I think. Now, why are we here? We're here for a number of reasons. First of all, because most of my clients, and I'm a high price point, and I'm in a high demographic, even in that arena, much less going down, most people don't have as much money as they'd like. Even if you have A and someone says, well, I wish I had A. Well, there's someone else who has B and you're sitting there saying, I want B. We always want more money. We don't have as much as we would like. And I almost wanted to use an F-bomb, but I held myself back tonight. Most people have some of the most messed up, screwed up, and you know my word, this is not an NLP and this is not a TIY seminar. If you don't understand, if you're a new timer here, and you don't understand that there is software running on your little 3-pound hard drive that drives everything in your world, that's another seminar. Call or write me. Get some of my stuff offline. Find YouTubes. But for software and psychology, when it comes to wealth, we have some of the most goofed up, screwed up software as it relates to making money. And the bad, sad news, it's not as hard as you think to have more money. And not only more money, I put in my first flyer, crazy money. Crazy money. Crazy money. When you understand how the system works and how you interact with the system to create your world. And the reality is you must change the questions that you ask today about why, how, can I, don't I, won't I, will I, to what point. You've got to change the questions and you're going to get better answers as a result in this vital arena. And you're going to see a lot of yellow boxes here. I'm doing something a little bit different based on some feedback. I want you to be able not only in real time, but when you ask for this webinar and tell me, hey, Bill, I'd like to have this in an email format after the webinar. When you ask for it, I want you to do the work. We're going to move pretty fast tonight. You're not going to have a chance to answer all the questions. So you're going to want to take some time because there's a lot of content when you actually sit down and in black and white, ask and answer the questions. And last, if you really, really understand the content tonight, most of you are going to change your request. You're going to make the ask a whole lot freaking bigger because it's not as hard as you think to create the money that you want. Now, I thought I'd start off with a fun little infographic. You know, when you study wealth, when you look at wealthy people, that's partly what I do. I'm on the cutting edge, on the front edge of success studies, improved psychology, etc. When you study this, what conclusions do we draw about wealthy people and the wealthy process? You know, do the wealthy have more time and resources? Do they do wealth and wealth comes? Or because of who they are, wealth comes? And then they're able to have different habits? Or do you think, is it the software that's built for principles of wealth and abundance? And following those softwares, if it looks like this, you essentially have abundance in every area of your life. Yeah, this is pretty interesting. This is a fun little infographic I pulled off. Habits of the wealthiest people. Now you see right there, in order to fit on the wealthiest, and there was 300 plus studied and 300 poor people studied, you had to be making at least $160,000 a year and have $3.2 million in assets. And to fit under the poor category, you made less than $30,000 a year and you had less than $6,000 in assets. Here's what we know about wealthy and poor. And you can see there's the black and the white infographic because they've got difference. I'm not going to read all of this to you. I'm just going to give you the headlines. They have routines. And again, you can see how dramatically different the different routines are. They're healthy. You see how many exercise and how many poor people don't. You can see something fun and interesting like, you know, poor people have a whole lot more junk calories a day than wealthy people. They raise their children different. They watch TV different. They set goals different. So again, when you go all the way up to what I said and looking at this infographic, what's the conclusion? Do you do wealth and you get wealth? Do you have some form of something to begin with? Do you have the time? Do you create? Blah, blah, blah. Now, most of you will have a very defined opinion on that. And you'll have an opinion as to where you fit on that scale. And you'll work to improve that scale, etc. But the rich are different. Yeah, they're not different. Their software is different. How they look at the world is different. And as a consequence, they do different. So what does that mean tonight? Now, in my first email to launch this webinar, I said, you know, at an early age, we start processing conflicting information and rules about money. Money, you know, am I or are you focused on money? Is this a big TIY message? You know, we talk in here about rich. You know, do more people want rich? Does it mean to be rich? We have the millennials looking at the culture of richness differently. Is being rich good or bad? And again, you have software today that says money is, I am, my chase for money is. We create things that feel good. We create things that feel bad about this. And it's all subconscious. It's all following almost a predetermined roadmap that goes all the way back to your family of origin that not only taught you about money, they did money and they existed with money. So this family of origin money programs, well, along you can pull out some things like this. It's kind of fun. Money isn't the most important thing in life, but it's reasonably close to auction on the gotta have it scale. That's a pretty fun little saying. It doesn't say you're a pig, you're a money grubber, you're a skin flint. It doesn't have negative connotations, but the energy of it's pretty powerful. It says money may not be the most important thing. You know, we talk about love and gratitude and things like that, and that's fully, fully evolved, embedded, and developed in the Inevitable You message. And we have to look at what the messages and dialogue and self-talks is around money. What is the energy behind, do you think, this, you know, ascribing to the most who chase money? I mean, think about the guy even in the intro that said, yeah, being wealthy is not an objective. I can't imagine why that wouldn't be anybody's objective. It's like anything, abundance, it comes easy if you understand it. Why would you ever say, I don't want something, and then try and impute a meaning? So whether it's, oh, well, you're a money grubber, or think back to the movie about Wall Street and Wall Street greed. That's been in our lifetime for most of us, that we saw Gordon Gekko and money, and money is, greed is good. And we even have powerful expressions that we all know, like, oh, money can't buy you happiness. And then you have all the fun little corollaries. You know, it goes to the root cause, the root core. And in the course of the seminar, I really want you to think about what you're asking for. And so that yellow box is a key. It's a trigger. I want you, from today's newsletter, it said, sit down and really ponder and write. Don't just sit at a table, get in great state, get in a great energy, get up, put big music on, write down everything that money means to you. This alone shocks many people when they do it well. And again, for some other more experienced in the TIY system, it's not just what you think about money. That's the IQ metric. It's what you feel about money. And what you will also discover in this process, this will produce many of our conflicts. That we will say this and feel that, or feel this and think that. This is a fascinating, powerful arena for us to really open up our hearts and minds and get very serious for once on where we sit with abundance, prosperity, wealth, money. who we are in relationship to it. So I already mentioned we covered epic love and legendary health, but we've not tackled this guarded software making money and making lots of money in a long time. What you'll discover is you know you have the ability inside to make choices, to not be restricted, to pay down debt, to build vacation time. You have the ability to provide more, build these funds. And then you'll record like, well, then the economy did this. Or you'll record my boss did that. Or you'll record that houses, they went south here and knocked out this key leg. And you will build a story that says, I may have the ability, but I don't have the time, perhaps. I don't have the money because, you know, money always makes money. And when you don't have money, you can't get money, right? That's something that you always tell yourself about money. So to really ask yourself the question, do I have the software? And this is so important. Are you asking for large piles of money, just massive money, far beyond the current thermostat that you set? And what is this concept of a thermostat? Why is that even important to us? And this is another, I want you to sit down after the seminar and really look at what's your thermostat for money. Because the thermostat, you know the concept. It says if it's a heat thermostat and you want to drive it to a high temperature, when it drops below the temperature, the thermostat kicks in and gets it back to that temperature. So whatever the thermostat is set at, the temperature will do. If it's a cool, so maybe you want it down to 70 degrees, and because you're all green and watching energy, you know, when it's cool, and it goes above the thermostat, the air conditioning kicks in and knocks it back. What you're going to discover is that you have a money thermostat. And if it says you need to make $60,000, if it says you need to make $120,000, if it says you need to make $300,000, guess what? You'll make it. Now, there might be times, maybe 2008 struggled. You may even see building your way back. But when we look at the longer trend line for money, you will find a way to get back. And the funny thing is, the first time you made $60,000, you couldn't believe you had all that money. Can't believe you spent all that money. Then when you got to $120,000, it's like, crap, I need $120,000. I can't leave on $60,000. And if you get $300,000, you can't live on $120,000 because that's where the thermostat is set. So this is a very important question to really ponder. What's your thermostat on money? And the question becomes is, if you're going to ask for this big piles of money that I'm talking about, big piles of money, big money, what do you think will happen? Do you think that that's just ludicrous and stupid because, hey, I'm making 60, I can't ask for 300? Or if you're making 300, you say, well, it's stupid, I can't ask for a million? Because there's no way possible. My job is this, my promotions are that. You'll go into the reasons why, and in my world, that's data. That's not the software of making money. And as I like to torture people, if you ponder all of the sudden a child or a spouse or someone you care about got really, really sick and they needed money to get well, you can make money beyond your thermostat. Of course you can. You get committed, you get fierce, you get desperate, you do anything. Well, I'm not asking you to be unethical, and I want this to be fun, but I want you to really, really look at this thermostat and this process by which you ask for money. You're going to find some interesting discoveries when you sit down and do that. Now, we then have to deeply consider and therefore reconsider our relationship with money. What do we believe money is? What we believe our relationship with it is, And where's our what's the present truth? And where are we going with this? What do we believe we can do tomorrow or next year? You know, some people say, oh, to get a big pile of money, then I'd have to go get a doctorate, or I'd have to change careers because of my careers, or I can't get promoted to the CEO of my company, or whatever it is. You have to look at and figure out what are these drivers. Now, as I got prepared for the seminar today and I was doing some research, you know, I have to be honest with you, and I'm in this field. I thought a lot of it was very kind of psychobabble, pop bubblegum, you know, and it was from even some authors, I won't use their name, but some authors and content that I've liked in other arenas when I've studied and read and investigated some other stuff. It all begins with this really upbeat view that you have all the power and all the potentiality structures. And I'm going, well, yeah, you know, everything that you need. I'm like, well, I've got that. I kind of believe in power and potentiality. But it was kind of short on methodology. It was kind of short on how to. It was just kind of cheerleading and say, oh, yeah, you've got every need. And then there was things that really talked about the consensus of where people really are today. These are some pretty interesting facts. You know, when we studied rich and poor, here's something interesting. They both wanted more money, and they both feared not having enough. That's pretty interesting. Most people resign themselves to believe that the money and resources they need are out of their reach. They've resigned themselves. They can't ask for more money. They don't even know what that looks like. Their belief system has stopped them cold. They'll watch the bubble gum. They'll see the pop psychobabble. They'll know, yeah, theoretically, you know, I also call it the hidden parentheses, you know. Theoretically, I have all this power and potentiality, you know, except for me. Man, I don't have all that because I'm stuck with my circumstances, my mortgage, my marriage, my job, my career, where life has led me, where the opportunities to go are. There's nothing here that says I can go beyond where I'm at. And again, if you're in the 60K, 120K, 300K, I've got some people on this call that are more than that. You will look at the thermostat and say that, yeah, I believe this, but when we box you in and force you to make an answer, most admit that over time, they do create this trend line, you know, what I call the thermostat. Yeah, 2008 was bad, and, you know, really, I didn't get back in 2012, and I'm not even back to where I was in 1998, but I'm good, I feel good, I'm above average. I'm the other tool. I'm doing 5 miles an hour and everybody else is doing 3. So I feel good. This is good. I'm getting my trend line. These are mindsets. These are softwares. And when asked what you are most uncomfortable to talk about, here's a great pair for you. Yeah, I'm most uncomfortable talking about money and religion. Wow. Yeah, I almost used, until my thing came up, Starbucks is, you know, we're gonna put on, what's the Race Matters? What is that new thing they're putting on their cup? Race Together. That's what it was. See, I don't remember because I'd already, but that popped back into my mind. Man, there are people that will talk about money and religions, but not much, not at the core, not at the heart. They'll dance around the periphery of it. This process, if you're going to go beyond this webinar tonight, it's time to get really, really serious about you and your relationship with money and how to really make great money for yourself. Now, in regards to your belief about money, we're not asking you to put it on a pedestal and worship it. It's not the be-all, end-all. It's not something that's great and the people that have it are better people or people to be envied or people that don't. But we're not asking you to put it below it and demonize it. It is not evil. It is not the root of evil. It's not negative. Money is energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It can only be transformed. It goes from one form to another. It doesn't have good or bad. More money isn't good. Less money isn't bad. More, less. It's energy. Where do you fit on this continuum? Do you worship money? Do you envy money? Do you fear money? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's why calibrations are so important to us. What do you think about money? And as we go through this webinar tonight, this is an opportunity this weekend and the next week or two to sit down and really ask yourself, where am I with money? Do I love it? Do I love it too much? Do I love what it brings me? Do I love it? What is my relationship with money? And going back to my introduction, God, I don't want to be wealthy. Yeah. Do you believe that in this place that money is flow? Money is a river of energy. It's flowing. You know, most people view it as dead presidents on a piece of paper. But it represents flow. It represents energy. It's not a thing. It's a piece of paper, but that piece of paper is nothing beyond the energy that it represents. It's not a thing. It is energy. And if you really, really want to look at it this way, beyond the thermostat that you set in order to travel with the amount of money that makes you comfortable, plus or minus, what money really is a speedometer of how well you're doing on flow and how fast and efficiently you're wired to the system. So I'm going $60,000 a year. That's how fast I'm going. Hoo-hoo! Wind's blowing back in my hair. Well, not my hair. I'm up to $120,000. It is not a thing. It is not an emotion. It is energy and its flow. And if you want more money, if you stop saying, I can't, or it's not, now I want you got another yellow box. This is a question for this weekend. If you want these notes, if you take more, or next week, how do you put your foot on the gas, both in your current world, how would I do this today? And part of the reason why you're on a seminar today is like, well, will I do this differently tomorrow? And the answer is, of course you will, because you're going to believe differently tomorrow about your access to a gas pedal. It is flow. It is energy. You're going to wire this differently. Now, while it's possible to have money flow and yet not have the best health or not have the best love, and in TIY technology terms, this is called the never, never pour model, because I talk about away patterns and don't spill the milk patterns, and I specifically use the fact that, oh, there's this young boy, this young girl on the wrong side of the tracks, and they grew up poor, and they're fierce. They're fierce. They don't want to be there. And they shake their fists. So shake your fists at the world with me. Yeah, I'm never, never, never going to be poor. Yeah, you can create a lot of money. But the problem is you don't create feelings of wealth. You don't create feelings of wealth and abundance and joy. Because you're driven by this yawning abyss that sits in the middle of your soul and your gut. And if you've got a million, it's not enough. If you've got 10 million, now other people will say you're rich, and you'll even intellectually know that you're rich. But it won't be software that taps into abundance. So it's not an ideal way to create money, and it's not an ideal way to create flow. So it's not an ideal way to create happy either. And so as you continue to develop this, the next thing that we run into is, do you believe this energy system that I'm talking about, this system that we're in, that it is an infinite system of energy? And really, it's against the law, against the laws of this system, for you to ask for, to focus on, to stay within the guidelines and maintain this ask for money, for love, for anything? And do you believe that the system runs out, goes to zero, or goes to zero for you? Does the system say, hold on a second, not enough money in the system for you. You've been diligent, you've been practicing good. Do you believe that? Now, I've mentioned two tools here. Again, these are tools in other seminars, but they'll be valuable for you. The reticular activation system tool says that when you buy a new car, what do you see everywhere the next day? Your car. And you've noticed it with excitement. So this tool, when you're applying to what are you looking for in the energy system, what do you believe it's going to deliver you? If you believe it's not going to deliver you crazy wealth, if you ask for it, you're going to notice all the times it doesn't do that and won't do that and can't do that and is blocked to do that. Versus if you're asking for it and you're activating the system in your software. And another way I do this, again, this is a longer tool to do. Look for Brown. I have people sit in my office and say, close your eyes. I'm going to, in about 10 seconds, I'm going to have you open your eyes and look for everything in my office that's brown. Ready? Go. Look for brown, look for brown, look for brown, look for brown. Above you, behind you, look for brown, look for brown. Close your eyes. Now tell me everything in my office that you saw that was red. Oh, this is funny. They'll get a couple of the big ones, but they'll miss a lot of big ones. And we've even had, I did this yesterday, there was a client to pick two things that weren't even red because we want to succeed in task. They weren't even close to red, and I'm colorblind. And the other piece of it is, if I ask you to pick brown, because I'll go back and do that, you will pick beige, you will pick cream, you'll pick anything that resembles brown, again, because we want success. So these tools is, if you say, find me crazy money, crazy money, crazy money, crazy money, crazy money, crazy money. Do you think that if you don't stop beating that drum, do you think the system or you are going to fail at this? And even if you fail, where do you think you end up when you're beating a drum for crazy money, crazy love, crazy wealth, crazy anything that's abundant about who we are and why we do what we do? So we're at the point we're starting to turn the boat here a little bit. You got to have a really healthy relationship with money. You got to feel good about money. You got to feel good about people that have money. So you can't be mad at rich people. You can't be mad at a tax bill. You can't be mad at lottery winners. You can't be jealous when someone gets a big bonus and you don't. Those are all requests to the systems to say, no, I don't really believe in my request. You got to have healthy software when it comes to money. And in the operating system at the abundance level. And the great thing is, because as I mentioned, we did health, we've done love, you know, as a software, these things are all congruent. They all follow similar principles. If you work on one, you can work on all of them. You have to work on your health as you did in January. If you're one of those with me on the call, thank you for being here for a third go round. If you worked on your health, you have to ignore and in fact put a ask into the system that says, yeah, while I'm working on health, don't give me big money. Don't want big money. I hate big money. How do I hate big money? I hate paying taxes. I hate paying a big tax bill. Well, again, this goes back again to my initial call. I'd never say that. I would say I love a great tax strategy. And on top of that, I still love a big tax bill. Because if I've got great tax strategies and I'm paying a big tax, guess what I got flowing through my wallet, through my bank accounts, through my model of the world. And with that money, I can influence and do a lot of things. So I'm getting real excited here. I got another, almost a month, less than a month. I get to write a giant tax bill. I'm a happy guy for that. I'm not bitching and moaning and cursing. That's how you unask the system. Trying to do one without the other is self-defeating. Now, I've got two clients here that popped into my memory. You know, one is not only recent, they've been a long time, but we just had this conversation again. He's worried about retirement. We joke all the time. We were corporate warriors together back in the telecom days. We were making tons and tons of money. 2000, I got out and said, okay, I'm going to be this. This is what I want to be. Promptly proceeded to lose all my money because I lost it in 2001 just like everybody else did. I didn't see that one coming. And he stayed in corporate life, and he's done financially far better than me. He's got a couple million, several million in the bank right now. He's doing well. But he's constantly worried about retirement because, first of all, he's my age. You know, at the age of 60, somebody could come take your job from you. He's just waiting for his job to be taken. And then he's got, with longevity, yeah, what kind of ask in the system is that when you're worried about getting old? You know, if you're worried about getting old, then you're telling the system, kill me now. Kill me early. I don't want to live that long. It's in the subtext. You can't have one without the other. So you got to be excited about being old, and you got to be excited about your longevity. You got to be excited you're going to be fine. And he says to me all the time, oh, Bill, you're like Dr. Spock. You're going to be 90 years old. Because you built your brand over the last 15 years and people are still going to pay you money. I'm going to be 90 and hope to God I didn't have an emergency when I was 75 because a medical emergency or a kid emergency could wipe out all my money and I got no money and I'll be broke. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, the stories he dreams about. That is a massive request into the system. Another quick story, shorter but equally fun. Some of you will chuckle at this. Had a young client, he was 35 years old in 2008. He was upset. He had to call me on an emergency basis and a couple weeks after the crash. I've lost half of my 401k. His 401k had $7 million. He was crushed. He was devastated. I'm sitting there thinking, God, I wish I had $3.5 million. What I could do with that money today. Because that was the time when you're down to $3.5 million to reinvest it. But only wealthy people did that because they had the conies, the software, the beliefs. They didn't look at the evidence and say, I'm not a rock star. And that's why you have to know the difference between data and software. You got to know the differences on the things that we're talking about. And you have to know the biggest fallacy in this world, and it lies in that tool. Talk about it all the time. There's a study out there of 400 lottery winners and quadriplegics and paraplegics before their accidents and after their accidents. And what they discovered, if you were unhappy before, it doesn't matter if you were a lottery winner or in a wheelchair. You were unhappy after. Money did not make you happy, and the wheelchair didn't make you more unhappy. You're just as unhappy. It's just the data changed. And if you were happy before, the wheelchair didn't make you unhappy. You found happiness again. And when you were happy and you were a lottery winner, you were happy. These things, again, I can't emphasize. I've spent some time on this tonight. Lie in your software and you got to look and focus on that. So when we want to go deeper into what is this request around asking and unasking, do you say, believe, talk about, repeat, pile on? When people say these things, oh, money is the root of all evil. Or, oh, I hate rich people. I saw that Forbes billionaire list as bastards. You know, they're just lucky. Or I don't, you know, they're probably mean to their housekeepers. Yeah, they've got boats. And you know. Do you hate rich people? Do you worry when your money goes short? Did you get upset? Did you go into crisis mode? And was 98 real and you thought you were a genius? And then in 2001, were you the biggest idiot on the planet? And in 2005, were you cautiously optimistic that some of your brains had returned? And in 2008, you're double kicking yourself you managed to jump in the air and double ass kick yourself because you lost it again in 2008? Do you let data and the environment and the outside in thinking create who you are? Do you hate paying taxes? And when you're in this problem, do you ask for a fix to the flow, or do you ask for more you? Do you say, the system, river's raging, but make me a better swimmer. Give me more sail. Make me a better sailor. I'll go into this headwind. It's not the flow that's at fault when money is short. Know this. If this is nothing else that you keep out of today's call, it is you that's blocking the flow. It's not the economy. It's not any other thing. You can go faster when you understand flow and a headwind than you can in a tailwind. In a tailwind, your speed is limited to the speed of the tailwind. You can't go faster. If you're sailing down leg and it's 20 mile an hour tailwind, you can only go 20 miles an hour. If you're going into a headwind that's 20 miles an hour, you can go faster. Now, granted, you're going to be tacking back and forth, but the more sail, the more outrageous angle you put, the more you cut into that wind, the faster you go. And that's when you win. That's why the October 1st or early 2009 is when big winners were made. Because they went back in, even though they didn't know if the bottom had hit. Everybody's like, oh, if I knew when the bottom would hit, I would go back in. No, you never know. It's your software. It's not the bottoms. It's not the wins. So, if you're buying this is a yellow box. This is a question that I want you to work on this weekend. Tonight, with your spouse, with your buddies, your mentors, your colleagues, and we got a great offer for you at the end if you want some really great buddies. If you're buying into this, do you not have the flow? What are you asking for yourself? And now what are you really asking? What are you asking for? And then what are you really, really asking for? You're going to surprise yourself. And part and parcel to that, I don't know, Sumner. Not buying this shit. 2008 was tough. I wasn't even recovered in 2012. I don't know. Really sit down and look. What is blocking this flow for you? To create more money, are you focused on more money or are you focused on more flow? Or do you have these in balance? And what's the balance? And is it balanced with the right emotional cues? These are critical questions for you to begin to ponder about your software. This is more about knowing who you are than it is about doing or asking for more. I'm not coaching you saying, no, go get a second job, go quit your career. I'm asking you to really address your software, and do you know how to ask for more and a whole lot more? And I'll leave you with my age-old question. You know, is this a fake it till you make it world? And I still get a lot of people that say, yeah, Bill, it's a fake it till you make it. And I say all the time, no, because if you tell yourself, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, and your wallet is sitting there at zero, not only are you still poor, but now you're also a big fat liar. And you know it, your software knows it. However, if you say, I am, and now you have a great story here. I am the man or the woman that has everything he or she needs. I got all the wisdom, all the experience, all the drive. It's my time. I know how to do this. I can do this. I'm putting the request into the system. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to move faster. I'm going to find ways to put more gas into the system. I'm going to flow faster. It's my time. With all the appropriate emotion. And in that world, we know that you're going to fall more. Yay. Because that's going to give you your lessons. We know you're going to be afraid more. Yay. because that's going to be the adrenaline that you need to do the drivers. I am, and you've got this incredible, great story to tell, is what you're really, really going to want to ponder. Let me give you a quick run through on our offer. TheInevitableU.com/money. Money, 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 money. I love money. Go there and look at it. There's going to be several things there for you. We've got a financial success design tool for you. We've got a 30-minute consult with one of the coaches here on staff. Be able to have a free 30-minute consult in this package. And then if you want to do more coaching, it's on the side. You also get a one-year membership to the website, which designs the entire operating system. It has the health and love webinars and all the other things that we've talked about. It's got tools, hundreds of hours of content. It's got the reality coaching channel. There's so much here. We sell that as a separate membership. But for today, because we're giving you all of these great things, it's one little fun pack. It's 78? 78. I had to look at Brian to remember it. $78. That's it for the entire year. That's cheaper than what you can get the membership site alone. And the last one, I think, is the most fun. We're going to pair you up and match you with an accountability buddy that's going to have the same drive, direction, desires, and you're going to be able to set up some great support systems. So before I open the line for questions, let me give you my conclusion. In my research, and I talked about bubblegum, and this wasn't bubblegum so much as just incredibly difficult to follow. John Assaroff, I like him. He's got some great stuff. Some of it a little more questionable to me. But he's got this great infographic I'm going to show you. 6 ways to track total financial bubblegum. Now, like I said, bubblegum, pablum. Yeah, but what's your alternative when you're out there trying to figure out how do I drive more money in? This is where you're going to generally start. Or you're going to go to a real technical manual that's going to be, okay, here's how to be a day trader or do trade. You know, there's not a whole lot in between. So here's John Assaroff's 6 simple ways to attract total abundance. 1, the secret. So let me pick up a new pen. The secret to having it all is believing you already do. Well, if you don't believe that, the only way most of you know is to do a fake it till you make it. No, you're going to write the software that I just talked about. I am today. That's how you create the belief. And in the formula, on the website, in the membership channel, we talk about putting the emotion in your body you would have when the truth is real. Then you're going to get a great, great opportunity to put this in motion. 2, do more of what you love, less of what you tolerate, none of what you hate. That's great advice. I'll buy that. I think that works, but a lot of you are trapped in careers or locked into careers, or you're even doing what you enjoy, but it's not making the money that you want, and you don't know where to go from there. When you're interested, it's convenient. When you're committed, okay, that's the example I gave you. If your child is sick, if you have to come up with money, you'll find a way to do that. So that's what he's telling you. Find a way to commit to this. Be careful what you say because someone is listening. Yeah, I'm big on that one. But again, it's not in the nature of what you say. It's in the nature of what you ask and unask. And at the subconscious embedded level. That's why you need a coach. That's why you need an accountability buddy. A lot of people, when I talk about getting excited about paying your tax bill, think I'm an idiot. Think I've lost my marbles. Sit there and go to themselves, I'm not going to do that. That's stupid. They don't understand the subconscious unasked that's sitting in the system. We can have whatever it is we choose. We don't care. Yeah, that's true. Ask for crazy big. But most of you won't. And then when you do it with disbelief. And then when you do it, You put zero emotional content that's real. You put disbelief emotional content to it. And last, you become what you think about most, but you also attract what you think about most. Yes, 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 yes. And so today's exercise, what I really, really want to drive before, and Brian, go ahead and open the, look for yellow hands, look for typed comments. If someone wants their open, we can't open the lines all at once. We've got a pretty big call on tonight. We don't have enough, be too much hiss and background noise, but let Brian know, type in the box. We've got 10 minutes. I wanted to give you some great Q&A time. Tell me what you think about this and what's next for you.
Kathy's got a question about specific ideas to create passive income if not starting with a bunch of money to invest.
Okay, great question. Specific. First thing I tell everybody, and this is in my client strategies in part because people know how expensive I am and they go, I don't have enough money to afford you. And the very first thing I teach everybody is really a tax strategy. I told you earlier, tax strategies are amazing. But you're going to want to lower them. If you form your own LLC and do it as something that you enjoy doing, you know, my metaphor, I talk about a person, client came in, they loved riding Harley Davidsons to Sturgis once a year. So I said, great, form an LLC, bill yourself as a tour group, put together flyers, sell the fact that you are a tour guide for Sturgis and charge people a couple hundred bucks, whatever you want to charge them, you know, on top of the expenses and take them to Sturgis. You'll get some writing buddies. And now when you have an LLC, the write-offs that you get from, you know, cell phone usages to your internet to every meal you eat out, you hand the waiter, waitress, someone sitting next to you a flyer. There's five criteria to record who, what, when, where, what was said, and said, hey, are you, like, do you have a Harley? No? Well, great. Give this to anybody you know has a Harley, and even if they throw it away, that's a write-off. You start writing off all your meals according to current tax code. You have a party at home. If anybody's ever been to my house for a party, people go like, really, Bill? This is who you are? The only time I didn't do it, just so you know, was for my children's high school graduations. I didn't do that. I paid for those parties. If you put up a little table in the corner with a book on it or a flyer on it, and you bring a couple people over and stand there and have some pictures taken, this is all legal. This isn't even gray. This is encouraged. We like small business. And again, when you ask for it in the right way, what happens is not only did he gain lots of money and tax write-offs within 3 years, he actually had some low thousands of dollars flowing in. Now, he was never profitable, but the IRS doesn't require you to be profitable. They only require you to be a legitimate business, and they have some litmus tests for a legitimate. Everything I've given you here so far is an example. If you paid any money last year in taxes, you don't want to do that. Now you can take that money and start to invest in other ideas. MLMs, I love MLMs. You know, people, I'm in an MLM. People make fun of MLMs. They hate MLMs. There's a whole software around MLMs. I do a lot of coaching in MLMs. Great, great time to be a network marketer, particularly if it's something that you love. You just have to realize it's not the get rich quick. You're going to sell your, you know, 1 hour and then lay on a beach the rest of your life. That's not true. And the embarrassment of, oh, I'm going to invite all my friends and family to my home party, that's not true either. Some people do both of those that way. I don't. But getting in MLMs. And then I always finish with the Jack Canfield. I think the Jack Canfield story is a great story. It's in The Secret. And it's part of my anchor and reference as to why you should want to watch The Secret. As an aside, I teach a seminar about the 9 things that are wrong with The Secret. But there's a lot right with it. And he talks about his coach and mentor, W. Clement Stone, said, hey, Jack, if you're going to believe in the law of attraction, The Secret, this world, the system of asking. You've got to ask for something so outrageous that when it happens, you'll know you were the cause of it by just the mere fact of asking and focusing on it. So it'll give you an idea how old the story is. When he first started out, he said, okay, by the end of the year, I want $100,000. $100,000, $100,000, $100,000. He had the brilliant idea. You know, if I wrote a book and I sold it for 25 cents, again, a year, if I sold 400,000, is that doable? Is that reasonable? So now he's thinking, book, 400,000, book, 400,000. He's standing in a grocery line. And again, this follows the RAS system and the look for brown. And he notices the National Enquirer, which we all look at those trash magazines that are on the stand there. And he noticed at the top, they have 400,000 subscribers. He's at a party that night, talking to a very interesting new person. He asks her, what does she do? Oh, I'm a reporter at the National Enquirer. You gotta put the ask in place, Kathy. Start asking. Let the system even furnish the how. So don't look for the money-making ideas. Get fierce on demanding. And he finishes the story with, he says, oh, you know, the law of attraction, it didn't work. By the end of the year, or that year, I only made $92,000. But then he joked. He said, yeah, no. I didn't get my $100,000, but I have believed in it ever since, and I've followed and practiced that. Great question, Kathy. Brian, what's our next question?
Manny wants to know how to set up an LLC.
Oh, that's $50. You can go down on the Secretary of State website. If you want to buy the 78, Manny, Brian will help you set that up as part of your 30-minute consult. But you pick a business that you want. So you want to be a motorcycle rider, you want to fly fish with your friends. You want to have a book club and you're going to bill yourself as a speaker. You pick what you want. You come up with the name. You go on the Colorado State if you're in state, your state if you're out of state. I will be the first to profess I'm not clear on every international law in other countries. And I have some international guests on today. So if you guys want to take this up offline with me, don't hesitate to call. But go to your state website. You can Google, how do I form an LLC? I think it's either $25 or $50. And it's free. It's easy. It walks you through it. It's a one-page, long-page application. You know, the inevitable you. I've now gone from an LLC, by the way. I am now an S-Corp, excuse me. Everybody does this, and now you're in business. Great question, Manny. What else?
That's it.
I never like to force you guys to stay long. Always feel free. Always feel free to write me offline. This webinar, we do these because they're fun. We do this to energize you, get you jump-started, get you ignited, thinking about new ways, different ways. If we can turn one little quarter screw turn somewhere down there in your psychology, the things that will begin to open up, I cannot tell you over and over again, the people that come to me and say, oh my God, Bill, I frankly didn't believe it, but I half-assed started it, and then I got excited, and then I really did it, and pop, bam, smack, pow. System, the universe hit me upside the head and gave me something I did not see coming. Get in the game. Get in the game larger than you ever imagined it to be. And get excited and watch what's going to happen.